If you glanced at your worship guide this morning, you noticed that we have a slight change of plans. I had asked for my daughter Michael to stand on the platform and teach today. She's very capable of doing that, but there's been a change of plans today that has made it to where Marcy and I were to be out of pocket, but we are here where we need to be today. I want to simply let you know that I'm sharing with you some information that Brad Williamson, our executive pastor, asked me to share with you. Week before Thanksgiving, Brad had a health crisis, one that happened here at church, the office, during office hours. Since that time, he has been trying to chase down the source, the issue. You can imagine that going from a doctor to another doctor, trying to find the best help that you can, it can be stressful, daunting, it can be frustrating. And so it was for both Brad and Ruby. This past weekend, he finally got some news. He made his way down and was at UT Southwestern. And after consulting and some tests and some scans, been determined that he is suffering from a brain tumor, most likely a cancer, one that he is going to seek immediate treatment for. He is scheduled to have surgery at UT Southwest on Wednesday, though there is not a specific time for that procedure yet. They will find that out tomorrow, most likely. It is of a serious nature. It is completely unexpected, of course. It is one that, if you know Brad and you know Ruby, you know they're strong in their faith. And he has put his life into the hands of some capable caregivers, surgeons, that will be fighting for him this coming week. With that comes the truth that people all around us are suffering. People all around us send prayer requests in for us that show that many people, each and every day, are hanging by a thread at times, that need comfort, that need compassion, who need a word from God. So when I got this news, and this kind of all came down Friday evening, and I talked with Brad about it, he asked me to be here to share in both of our services what his situation, what it is. I told him that be a privilege for me to do that, so that is why I'm here. But at the same time, in talking with Michael, it just seemed a little, just a little off to proceed as we had planned. I mean, we plan worship services in advance and we do our best. And there are times when change is necessary. And we feel that today would be one of those. So what we want to do this morning is spend some time talking about and reminding ourselves of God's presence, what His Word tells us, and then to spend some time this morning in prayer. I mean, we are a praying people, of course, and Troy made mention that we ask for prayer requests to be turned in, and you do that, and you're faithful to do that, and our prayer list is very long and detailed. But to spend some time this morning in a time of actual prayer. So I'm just preparing you a little bit ahead of time here that later on this hour, we're going to take some time. And if you were here today and you need someone to pray for you, you want someone to pray with you, we will do just that. We're going to spend some time and ask you to come forward, and there'll be some church folks here, men and women. You don't have to be a minister to pray for others. You don't have to be a deacon to pray for others. You don't have to be a church leader to pray for others. So if you're here today, and whatever the case may be, if it's an issue, you need prayer. We're not here to counsel you. We're not here to solve your problems. We're here to pray. So I asked my daughter to come help me this morning. Say hello to Michael. There are passages all through Scripture that talk about God's comfort, talk about faith. But there are a couple that we want to just review with you this morning, and then we'll pray. In the New Testament, there is a plain, clear, concrete statement made. It's in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. And it says this: I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Regardless of what your life circumstance is, regardless of the pressure put upon you, you can count on this clear statement. You should write it out. You should put it in your own words if you want to. Memorize it. But know that Paul did a pretty good job of covering anything and everything that could come up against us to erode our faith and to cause us to be overcome with anxiety. He said there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't forget God's promise.
And in the Old Testament, I'm sure you're familiar with Psalm 23. It is probably one of the most common psalms and one that transcends even the church. People who wouldn't necessarily even call themselves followers of Christ know the words in Psalm 23. And it begins, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Lord is capitalized in the Old Testament, which means it's God's personal name, Yahweh, and that he is a shepherd. And we may think of that as like a passive, calm kind of shepherd. But if you know or are aware of the men who care for animals and build fences and protect, this was a strong, mighty shepherd, fierce, brave, and responsible for a flock of sheep. And we know that in the old ancient Near East, they used the term shepherd for their kings, that the kings of their lands were called shepherds because they were responsible for protection and provision for their people. So when David, the psalmist, says, "The Lord is my shepherd," it is a strong and fierce title that is also royalty and king. David, we know, was also a shepherd and a king. So if anyone knew that role, it was David himself. And he says, because of who God is, he shall not want. He shall not be in need. He's not referring to the kind of God that just gives us every whim and desire, but a God, a shepherd who provides for every single need. Those who follow the shepherd, those who are near to the shepherd, shall not want. N.T. Wright says, "It is not great faith you need. It is a great God." And that is our shepherd in Psalm 23:1.
Now, what was your understanding when you were younger about that phrase?
I wasn't going to confess that.
I think you need to tell them.
You know, when you're little and you think of song lyrics and you think they're one thing, and then all of a sudden you figure out you've been singing the wrong words your whole life. Well, I used to not understand why this psalm was good, because I thought it was, "The Lord is my shepherd, who I do not want." Like, the grammar there sounds like that. And I don't even know what age I really understood it, but it was probably far too late in life. So for those of you who might be confused, it's not the shepherd he shall not want. It is not being in want or need.
Okay. So, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Next verse is, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's a pretty arid part of the world. But yet, David says, God led him to a green oasis. That's what God does when he provides for us. That he is there to lead us to places of rest. See, in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of anxiety, in the midst of frightening news, whatever it is, this psalm gives us the promise that God leads us to places of calmness. Doesn't mean the anxiety is necessarily removed permanently, but it is God's promise to us that he has places for us and he will lead us to those places where we can find comfort and rest. And that's what people need when they face issues that are beyond them.
And probably places we could not find on our own.
Absolutely.
Sheep in an arid area would never be able to find green grass. And so that's an incredible promise. You stole one of my parts.
I stole one of your parts?
Well, verse 3 is, he restores my soul.
Take it back. Okay.
He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And the Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. And that's a word that means our whole being. It is our physical state, our emotional state, our spiritual state, our mental state. So when we are broken, when we are tired, when we are anxious, when we are run down, when we feel useless, this shepherd, this God, restores our soul. He restores our whole being. He guides me in the paths of righteousness. That doesn't mean he leads me on the best path by my standards, but the right path is the path that gets us where we need to go. And the right path is sometimes a dark path or a rugged path or a difficult path or a path that we don't want to travel, but it is still the right path when we follow the shepherd. And he does all this for his name's sake, which has a dual meaning. He does all of this because this is who he is. He is good. He is faithful. He is strong. He is king. But he also does this to let the world know who he is, that he is good, that he is strong, that he is God, and he is king.
These first three verses, David is talking about God. He is addressing God kind of almost in the third person. But in verse 4, notice he changes and he begins talking to God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is the pivotal verse in my way of thinking. Because this comes at a point where we're face to face with evil, with darkness, with disease, with death. And notice that David says, I'm walking that path. All of us walk that path at one time or another. There's no escaping tragedy. We are not immune because we are God's children from the bumps of life and the tragedies of life. But his main point here is he's not walking that path alone. God is with him. And that makes all the difference in the world.
Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil and my cup overflows. The image changes from God as shepherd to God as host, with a table and a banquet where we sit and along with others, even enemies. Our God is the only one who bridges the gap between those two. And there is plenty at this table. My cup overflows. Plenty for me and plenty to share with those around. This is the shepherd and the host that we follow.
Surely goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You know, we just said we're not immune from the heartache and struggle and the tragedy of life. I think what David's saying here is that when he looks back, when he looks at the broad view and the broad perspective of his life, what memories are going to stick with him? What's going to bubble to the surface? What's going to make the difference? Where is he going to take his mind, or where is God going to lead him in his thought process? To where he remembers the good, the evil, the darkness. Those fade because the shepherd of our lives brings us to a place to where in time, and it's called grief, but in time that process of grief helps us to go back to those times when our loved ones were at their strongest, their prime. Goodness and mercy far outweigh anything else. This is God's promise to each one of us.
I was thinking, because we switched all this last minute, but the songs this morning, it was like God knew that he fights for us, that we need him, that, you know, we look on a new year, we don't know what it holds for us. It could be the highest thing and the most joyful thing we've ever experienced. It could be the most difficult thing. None of us knows what's ahead. But either way, like sheep can't figure it out for themselves. Sheep are sheep. So the shepherd is the one fighting. The shepherd is the one planning. The shepherd is the one making the way. The shepherd is the one coping with whatever comes in our path. And although that's a helpless place to me, it's also the most hopeful place to be, that I can't and he can. I thought it was cool that even the worship preparation ahead of time was exactly what I needed to sing today. But so a lot of people, when we think of this psalm, we think of the difficult times, and it is one that's often read in difficulties, but it is actually the psalm to guide us when things are wonderful, or as we planned, or exciting, as well as when things are difficult or dark or uncertain. And so I think even though this psalm is one with which we are familiar, it's important to visit those passages and kind of look at them from a different perspective. The last thing I was going to share, Dallas Willard did a study on this psalm and kind of rewrote it in his own words. This is not straight from the Hebrew, but this is his interpretation. And so I just want to ask you to maybe close your eyes or whatever you need to do to focus and listen. And I want you to hear these words as we close this portion of looking at Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have life without lack. In his green pastures, I have eaten my fill, so I lie down. At his still waters, my thirst is satisfied. He heals and reintegrates my broken depths in his eternal life, so I can walk in paths of righteousness on his behalf. Even though I go through loss, hunger, disease, aging, and death, I will fear no evil because you, Jesus, are with me. Your strong rod and protective staff put me at liberty. Your abundant provision is a feast for me, so I am happy to share with my enemies. You give me hot showers and warm, fluffy towels, joyful experiences, and deep relationships to make me feel clean, special, and powerful. My cup runs over, so I can be generous without ever running out. Surely this world is a perfectly safe place for me to be, because I dwell and abide with God in the fullness of his life in the kingdom of the heavens forever. In preparation for my sermon that I was going to do today, I actually created a playlist on Spotify, and the link is in your worship guide. And if you like listening to music that way, streaming, I think it is a very, they are good words put together by humans that help us focus on what we need to this year. No matter what our path is, difficult, joyful, as we planned, not as we planned, that playlist is there for you. And if you need help finding a playlist link, I can help you. But it is it's just a bunch of songs that really talk about Jesus being what we need. And that is all.
You were acting like you didn't think I could find a playlist.
Well, you've come a long way. You do use Spotify.
I do.
But if you scan the QR code and do fancy things like that. If anybody needs any assistant, he would be the one to help you. He's a tech guru.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. It's 10:14. We've got time. There is not a doubt in my mind that there are people in this room and you need prayer. So I offer this invitation. Let us pray for you. Literally, right now, in these moments as we spend this hour together. It could be that you're facing unemployment. Maybe you're not sure where to turn for paying the bills. You're at a loss. Maybe you're here today and there's a family relationship that just seems to be getting worse and worse. The strain of whatever it is too much. Maybe it's a health issue, one that has brought us to want to change things up when one of our loved ministers is facing a hard time. Brad would be the first one to say that this is not about him, but it is a wake-up call. It is a reminder that we need the power of prayer in our lives. So I hope I've opened it up enough for you to understand and know that whatever the desire is in your heart for comfort and for prayer, for someone to pray for you, we want to do that in these next few minutes. This is how we're going to do it. There are going to be some folks here who pray, who are willing to pray, not to solve all your problems, as I said, not to counsel, but to pray over you and to pray for you and to pray for God's best. So we're just going to spend that time getting up from where you are. It could be that someone's going to pray for you and you don't know them by name. That's okay. You can always introduce yourself as you approach them. Let us pray for you. Let us take this time to avail ourselves of the God who created us, who loves us, who knows what's best for us. We will open up these steps. We call it an altar area. Maybe you just want to come down and kneel here. That's up to you. That's fine. But there will be some prayerful folks who will just be standing here in just a moment. And we will take the time to pray. Let me introduce that time of prayer right now. Father, we come to you today thanking you for the power of prayer, talking to you anytime, anywhere, about anything. And Father, as we face a new year, as we face the challenges, we look to you. So lead us and guide us. May we spend these minutes encouraging, praying for one another, seeing your presence in our lives. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So if you would just, if you're willing to pray for someone, if you just get up from where you are, come down here. And if you are desiring prayer, then come let us pray for you right now.